welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Scammy Johnny Podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. With me again, Aaron Slotum. How are we today, Aaron?
Good, John. How are you doing?
Better. I've been great, and we'll see how well I do today, because I've been gone the last couple days, as you know, I think. I have been in Puerto Rico with my wife, and wonderful times. It's a really, really great place. Some old 500-year-old Spanish forts and stuff to look around.
That's
through.
Fantastic.
It was amazing.
Did you go see the phosphorescent swamp where when your paddle hits the water at night it glows?
No, I didn't. We wanted to go see the rainforest and everything, but we were there for a weekend, so we had basically 48-50 hour type thing, just two nights, 3 days.
And
type
to pack
of thing.
It in. Yeah, I get you. Gotcha.
Old San Juan is beautiful, as much as there is still stuff getting repaired. There's a lot of stuff still getting fixed.
From the big hurricane that slammed in there last year.
Yeah, but it was gorgeous. It was wonderful, and it was great. And, of course, segue into
that. I forgot
about
that hurricane as fast as Trump did. Sorry. There it is. Sorry. Anyways, you were saying.
And, of course, the other things that segueing from that perfectly into this, obviously, is that you can find me at ScannyJohnny1 here. That's our podcast site. And you can also find me at JBarn54. And, Aaron, spend a couple minutes telling us your Twitter handle.
I am at Cheddar Talk, John, at Cheddar, CHEDDAR. Talk, TALK, at Cheddar Talk on Twitter. And if you go there now, I changed my background picture. And ooh, you can see my cool setup, my makeshift studio I have in the basement. It is, it's something else, man.
Perfect.
I have a neon brewer sign. Come on.
And who doesn't need that? That's wonderful and perfect. So what we're going to start with today, we've got a couple little things here. Of course, the big news is the Packers, because that's the biggest thing, and there is no Badger game until the 27th of December with the wonderful Pinstripe Bowl, everybody, which
da-da-da-da.
Getting paid back for the fact that Barry Alvarez was one of the key parts in getting that thing going, and now they can finally have a Badger team that's bad enough to be in it. So,
and the only thing that stinks about it, too, is that it's unlike all the Southern games. You know, LA is expensive to travel to because of hotels and stuff like that. But a lot of the Southern, bowl games, like if you're going to get a lesser bowl game, get like the Gator Bowl or something so you can get like a halfway inexpensive hotel room. You know, trying to stay in New York City is really expensive.
Yeah, and I guess we'll just have to see how the game plays out. It should be fun. It would be interesting to go see that. Mm-hmm. And being a cold weather team, it'll be good to see the Badgers playing in, real football weather.
And it plays well to their recruiting, too, because how many running backs have we had come out of New Jersey that have been spectacular for us?
Well, I mean, Ron Dane and Taylor and I'm trying to think who else. We had a couple
other ones, too. It's escaping me. He wasn't one of, was it Brent Moss?
Maybe. That could be it. One of those guys in there, too, was another New Jersey runner. And yeah, there's some guys there every year, but not.
It's got a good recruiting base in New Jersey, so the Pinstripe Bowl works well to that. So,
well, in terms of recruiting, most of the recruiting is done for this year. I know Graham Mertz said he's committed now. He changed his Twitter to no longer saying that he is a high school quarterback, but a Wisconsin Badger quarterback.
Yay.
So we're all very excited about that moving forward. And everybody's expecting that he will compete for and possibly win the starting quarterback job next year. So we'll see how that goes. It'll be fun to follow.
And who's the kid that transferred from Ohio State? I just saw that today, too.
I missed that. And like I said, out for the weekend. We're lucky I've got anything going on here. The one important thing to say about Wisconsin Badger football as well is Jonathan Taylor. Again, not Jonathan Taylor Thomas, but Jonathan Taylor, Doak Walker Award winner. Only Badger nominated for an award or put up as a finalist for award and won. So, good to you, Jonathan Taylor. And we're looking forward to having another great year with you next year, as you are not draft eligible yet because you are a true sophomore. But, yeah, of course, to get any real draft stack, he's going to have to learn how to catch a football a little better.
Well, there's that. Just get one more offseason to work on that, the catching there, bud.
I mean, you look at the guys who've come out of Wisconsin and, obviously James White, Melvin Gordon's a very good hands, and he spent a lot of his last year at Wisconsin also making sure that he showcased that he had the good hands. And that's an important thing to have if you're going to go play in the NFL, because it is a pass league. There's not a lot of guys who are going out there and just running 25 times a game. That doesn't happen anymore. You need to learn how to catch. Ezekiel Elliott at this point, too, who was mostly a pure runner and has become a very good pass catcher, or at least is involved in the passing game very frequently. And that just, you need to be able to do those things in the pros now. So that's what he needs to work on.
Two of his predecessors from Wisconsin are two of the best. Well, Melvin Gordon's okay at catching out of the backfield, but James White is the best receiving running back in football.
Yeah, today. And one of the better ones of our life, I think. Not, you know, he's in that conversation at least. He's the best one in football now, though.
Yep.
In terms of other Wisconsin sports, we're going to make sure we cover all the UW stuff that we have. Briefly to mention, the women's volleyball team got to the Sweet 16. They didn't get any further. But the Big Ten is the best women's volleyball team.
Yes, absolutely.
They lost to Illinois, but they beat Illinois during the season. They also beat Nebraska during the season. I think Penn State, Nebraska, Illinois were all in the Elite Eight. I know they all were, but I'm trying to think who else was. But there were
Is Minnesota others. In there? Because I think Minnesota was the best team in the conference.
No, I don't believe that's true at all. I think Nebraska was again. Nebraska is a crazy place for women's volleyball. My brother went there, as you know, and he said it's the only place he's ever been where you go to a bar and the women's volleyball game is on because everybody in the bar was asking for it to be on. And they were very serious. They sell out that arena, like an 18,000-seat arena.
No, I don't doubt it at all. It's just that Minnesota beat Wisconsin a couple times in volleyball this year. That's why I was thinking that Minnesota was way up there.
Yeah, I don't know that they were that high. I didn't hear anything much about them this year, and I don't think they were in that group, but I could be wrong. I don't know. In terms of the other big Badger sports, Badgers women win again. They sweep St. Cloud State.
Minnesota was the best team in the division, John. Oh. They're 19-1 and 27-4 overall.
Okay. I didn't know that. They're not traditionally a power in that. It's normally Nebraska and Penn State. And like I said, Wisconsin's been to the Sweet 16, I think they said, 4 years in a row?
And except, you know, the conference schedules, of course, they're playing each other. But, I mean, the top schools, Minnesota was 27-4. Illinois was 32-3. You know, Nebraska 20-6. Wisconsin 25-7. Penn State 25-7. Purdue 24-9. And Michigan 24-9. That's the top 7 schools all had 24 or more wins. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is the only conference, basically, as if that was how it goes. As I was saying, the women's hockey, of course, like I said, they swept St. Cloud State. They got an 8-2 win and a 3-1 win. Annie Pankowski now up to 14 goals in 18 games. They're 19-1-0, so she missed two. Abby Roque played all 20 games. She has 25 points in those 20 games, 19 assists, 6 goals. That team just keeps rolling. St. Cloud State, not a ranked team, not a team that was going to really push them for, you know, getting in there. But it was, you know, it's just a great team. It's just a great team to see. And the other news is that Wisconsin's men starting to put some things together now. They went and swept Michigan State this weekend, 5-3 and 3-0. They're now, according to the votes, they're up to 14 points. They're the 25th ranked team in the country right now.
That's crazy. That is absolutely nuts.
Just gotta keep moving up, like you say. You gotta get into that, you know, that RPI. I didn't check their RPI, I guess, and I can probably do that while we're talking about this. But it's like they got Doogie's playing great in the Friday night game. The Badgers got up 3-0. Michigan State came right back, made it a 3-3 game, and then the Badgers pulled away 5-3. Peter Tischke, who we mentioned last week, had the empty net goal that was from behind his own net. That was an interesting goal, but he got the game-winning goal this time. And then there was that was on an assist from Tarek Baker and Sean Doogie. They outshot Michigan State in that game 29-14. So that's
significant.
Michigan State only had one shot on goal in the third quarter in that period, third period in that game. That's pretty
good. That is a recipe for success, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, don't give up any late goals or shots. Now, it's harder to score if they don't get a shot on net.
Just don't let them shoot the puck.
Yeah, and so that was obviously great. Saturday, obviously a 3-0 shutout. Both Doogie and Keandre Miller each had a goal and an assist. Seamus Malone added the empty net at the end of the
Seamus.
Game.
Thank you, Seamus.
Good old Seamus. We love him. Just looking up here, Badgers now 19th in RPI. I say, if you can get up to like 12, I mean, if they can get up to 12, they can really push to be one of those other teams to make it into the, you know, the non-specific, you know, automatic bids. They can start pushing their way up there.
This is insane. I'm looking at my USHO.com. Thank you, USHO.com. Of course, so right now, Notre Dame, who's number 3 in the conference and has a worse overall and conference record than Wisconsin, is number 6. Ohio, who's number 1 right now, who the Badgers are tied with, are number 7. And then
Penn State at 10.
Penn State's at 10. And Penn State's
Minnesota at 21.
Six in the conference, and they're that far down. I mean, they're being Penn State's behind everybody except Michigan State, who's the only weak team in the Big Ten, and they're not weak. They're 16-6 overall.
Yeah, they just get beat by the other Big Ten schools at this point. And like I said, right.
And because Michigan State, they're horrible, and they can lose at everything as far as I care.
Right. They could fold down every athletic program after the sorts of things that they have gone through these last couple of years.
I really hate them more than any other team, I'm pretty sure, of pro college at all. I just do not like – and the fact that the Vikings quarterback's from Michigan State, that makes it real easy to hate him.
Yeah, I've as you know, I went to the couple different times the Badgers have been to the Big Ten. I went to the first 3 times they went to the Big Ten title game. So mm-hmm. I saw them play at Michigan State, Nebraska – and Ohio State. And I had season tickets while I was at the university for my 3 years of law school.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Michigan State fans are the worst in the entire conference.
Oh, yeah. They're from Lansing. I mean, right? Right.
The thing is, that's the very first Big Ten game, the fans would, like, gather in little groups, like small little enclaves right outside of the gate, and they would just, like, be screaming at people. And they'd be yelling stuff and everything, which is like, wow, this is terrifying. What are these people? And then on the way out, we, of course, beat them. And it was silent. There was no give back. There was nothing. We were just happy we won. And I was very proud that day because I was like, we could be yelling all sorts of stuff at these people. And we're not. We're just walking out feeling good about our team. And that was great to see. Nebraska friends are sweet. They're really nice people. That's a really civil game, Wisconsin and Nebraska. Ohio State people are actually fairly nice only because they're so condescending. They just feel bad for everybody else is my experience with them. So they're not really like in your face for anything because
Nebraska's just a good state. Go to Omaha sometime. It's awesome. So, hey, John, I hate to break the fourth wall, but speaking of Michigan State people, I don't like, especially since they brought up before the game, the time that Kirk Cousins beat Russ Wilson on that last minute Hail Mary. Seattle just scored a touchdown, and then on the first play on offense, Kirk Cousins just fumbled a fumble six, if you will.
Jeez.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't root for him.
No, I don't either.
No. Or Michigan State in general. Yeah. But, so it's good that we got a sweep of those Spartans, and very happy to see that. Badgers, as you were kind of alluding to, the Badgers are number 2 in the Big Ten right now.
Right.
They are 4-3-3-1 as Big Ten scoring goes, which means 4 wins, 3 losses, 3 ties, and then a shootout loss, which is different in terms of tie-breaking points and how they go, just barely. It basically just means that there's a tie-break. It puts Ohio State ahead of the Badgers, although both of them have 16 points in conference play. Overall, Badgers are 8-7-3, and you know they've already played Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. So they've played a pretty good schedule so far and come out of it. And they played BC, by the way. They beat BC, who is leading Hockey East right now. And they've had a good season, and I feel very good about this team. And not like they're going to win a title good, but this team has goal scorers, and they've gotten some very good goal play, and they've gotten better at the defensive side of hockey. They kept Penn State in the second game the other week. Like I said, they kept Penn State 10 shots under their season average. And Michigan State, they only gave up 1 shot in the third period in a tight game that they needed. So I was very happy about this. This is a good setup for UW men. And it's been a very good jumping point that Penn State series onward might be that galvanizing moment that Aaron Rodgers keeps hoping somebody's going to find. So, other hockey news, of course, Aaron, UW Superior splits a weekend series with St. Mary's University of Winona.
I saw that. Actually, I have everything up for UW Superior. That's how big of a dork I am. It's all tabbed out. It really is.
The Yellow Jackets, right?
Yeah, UW Superior Yellow Jackets, yes. the pride of Cinto S. Westman Arena on South Catlin Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin. God, I had to think there for a second.
Jeez.
It's been 12 years since I graduated, John. So, you know,
no,
I get
fine.
They split a weekend series with UW Superior. I got a message from one of my friends that I graduated from UW Superior and said, you know, you might want to go look at some of the stats and stuff like that. He's like, both the men's and women's teams, and the women's team 4-7-1. The men's team is 4-8-1. I believe I said that correctly here. Yeah, 4-8-2.
If not, no one's going to correct you.
well, there's that, and he did tell me to pull up some stats though, because UW Superior actually is number 3 in the conference for goals scored per game, and actually has one of the higher point scorers. So I have to give. Of course, this tab's not going to work now. York was the kid's name though. He was number 3. Oh, there it is. Troy York from Superior is a sophomore forward. He's number 3 in the conference with. 9 goals, 4 assists, and 13 points, averaging almost a point a game. So I was told that they're not as bad as their record shows. So
okay,
I think I spent my two minutes on UW Superior hockey allotted.
Yeah, that
keep
was
cracking the whip every week.
That was almost as much time as you used to just talk about your Twitter handle
at Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk.
So, but the other news, of course, is that. UW Stevens Point remains undefeated, 12-0-2. They still have all the first place votes at this point in the USCHO poll. They had a southern swing of the area. They went down to Concordia, beat them 2-1, and then to Lake Forest, Lake, not Wake, and beat them 4-2. So that's good. They continue to be the best team in this country, and they've been very good. They've had a couple games against high ranking schools too. At this point, UW Eau Claire moves up to number 4, St. Norbert's to number 6 at this point. Eau Claire spent the weekend getting a 6-3 win and then a 3-3 tie, win over Northland and then a tie against Marion. And then St. Norbert's got an overtime loss and an overtime tie, both against Augsburg. River Falls split the weekend series with Lawrence. But they're not really anywhere in that kind of the push of teams at the top there. Three teams from Wisconsin in the top 6 right now, and looking very good for getting through the regular season here. But very excited about Point. I'm definitely going to have to go out there and watch that team play, because this is a killer team right now.
Mm-hmm. And then not to take away, because we have talked about D1 men and D3 men. Of course, everybody knows there is no D2 in hockey.
Everybody does know.
I still don't know why, but there is like 4 teams. But yeah, there's D1 and D3, and then D1 women's side. Of course, you're what school is it? I have no idea. Adrian Bulldogs are number 1 in the country, but for Wisconsin schools, UW River Falls at 10-1-1 is number 4 in the country. UW Eau Claire is 7-2-1. They're number 9 in the country. That's it for Wisconsin schools. A lot of course, Minnesota schools, St. Thomas, Hamlin, all that throughout there, some East Coast schools. So
the Lady Tommies.
The Lady Tommies.
I don't think they called them the Lady Tommies.
The Tommets.
The Tommies. Hamlin. Oh, it was Hamlin. Our friend Tom Bonick is a graduate of the proud Hamlin University Law School.
Because he couldn't get into UW.
We will. Come on.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Miss you, Tom.
Sorry, Tom.
But yes, good times. Yeah, we got a couple teams there doing well, but yeah, not the same teams. Eau Claire, I guess, but it's very different to see River Falls towards the top of a hockey thing. But yeah, Adrian, Plattsburgh, Norwich,
yes,
and River Falls. Moving on then, we've gotten through those things, and of course, other than the Packer game, one of the other big news items this week is it is big rivalry week in terms of college basketball here in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Badgers and Marquette Golden Eagles went at it and went into overtime. Wisconsin led at halftime by a point and then lost by a point, obviously, in the second half. Marquette outscored them 13-8 in the overtime. Some of that was just pulling away with extra free throws and stuff down the end. there was a point where the game was about a three-point game or whatever, and I think it was a four-point game because they were down by six in overtime. They were down by six. The Golden Eagles spend their time covering everyone but Hap because they don't care what he does. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Right. So he's wide open running down the floor. And in a six-point game where you really only had enough time for two possessions, he just drove the length of the floor and laid it in. And everyone's like, just don't foul him. Just don't foul him. Like, what was – I don't know, understand what that was. You need to get up a three to have a chance in that game, I think. And that seemed like a very odd capitulation for the team at that point to just drive in and lay it up. It made it a four-point game. And then Hap is trying to foul. And actually, like, the refs just did not want to give him the foul. So at one point, he reaches over and slaps the ball handler. And he just, you know, and then stops because he's like, just hit him. That's a penalty. But nobody blew any whistles. So he just kept running away from him. And then Hap had to go chase him down and fouled him with like 0.7 seconds left. And he's like, if you weren't going to call that last one, why'd you call that one there? Just waste of time.
So help me out. So remind me, if teams go into overtime in basketball, does the bonus continue into overtime or do they clear it?
I believe it continues.
It continues, because, yeah, right, yeah, because no, that's why you get so many free throws in overtime. That's right, okay.
Yeah, it does, because I remember, yeah, they were getting a ton of overtime free throws for just the shots. And by the way, free throws are the thing that killed the Badgers in this game.
Weird, right?
Yeah, they shot, well, I mean,
reversal.
They shot 50% from the floor, and that's fine. That's fine to do. They shot 20% from three, and they shot 47.6% for free throws. 10 of 21. That is a ridiculous game. The number of points that they just left out there, that they abandoned by not being able to hit their free throws was ridiculous. Davison 0 for 3. Hap is a notoriously bad free throw shooter. 2 of 5. Trice 3 of 5. Iverson 4 of 6. Nobody on the bench managed to get a foul. Didn't get a lot of scoring for the bench. There were 10 total points from the bench in this game. 2 of them from Kobe King. Ford threw an 8, hit two different three-pointers and another one elsewhere, a defensive rebound. And, yeah, he just 10 points off the bench. Hap had 34 of Wisconsin's 69 points. I mean, he had basically half their scoring in this game. Trice adds 10, Reavers adds 11. Davison didn't get a point. Not a point, not a single point. 0 for 3 from the floor in 33 minutes. Yeah, I mean, you went into overtime and you kept the Golden Eagles to 74. They're playing at Fiserv Forum. It was the first time that the two schools have played there, obviously, because
it's the first chance they've had.
Yeah, and this is the first time in a while Marquette has now won back-to-back seasons. I think they said it was like the 2010-2011 season that they won two in a row.
Right.
So, yeah, they beat Wisconsin in Wisconsin when everybody was hurt last year, and now they beat the Badgers, who were 12, and now Wisconsin, I think, drops to 16, and Marquette moves up to 21. Both teams 8-2 now. Very flat performance by the Badgers. And the thing I will say, though, is that you know this is a great rivalry at this point, and I know it because I'm reading all my fellow UW graduates saying, like, this isn't even a rivalry. Clearly Marquette cared about this way more than we did. You can just see it. That's why it's, like, I care even less that we won. And you're like, you know what? That's what you say when you lose a game you really cared about.
Right, exactly.
I was like, This game mattered to UW, and it mattered to UW fans because they were everywhere on Twitter saying how much they didn't care.
Yeah, it made a lot more difference back in the old Big East. I mean, the Big East isn't what it used to be, but Marquette's still a real school. Two thoughts on this. First of all, I want to correct myself from earlier that Ohio State transfer that we got was in basketball, and that was a Micah Potter, who will be playing for the Badgers next year. He's a forward. Anyways, get that out of the way. So as it's been stated on this podcast, I've been living north of Highway 29 most of my life in Wisconsin. In fact, all of my life. I only lived south of 29 I was still north of 29 by a quarter mile when I was living in Wausau. But either way, the Marquette Badger rivalry, I knew it was a rivalry. Didn't think much of it, of course, because it was two teams, and it seems like when one team's really good, the other team's not good, and they never meet in the big tournament or anything like that. But so I moved down here, and I was told by a couple Badgers fans, like, yeah, Marquette fans are the worst, and I'm seeing it right now. Like, a lot of Marquette fans are like, you can't be a fan of both. Like, because I was always just a fan of, more of Bucky, of course, because it's the state. But, when it came to basketball season, I was always a Marquette fan because you want to see the team from Wisconsin win, right? Just like when UW-Green Bay sneaks in the tournament once in a while. Yeah. Or when UW-Milwaukee makes it in there. You're going to cheer for them, right? Yeah, because they're UW school or Wisconsin school in Marquette's case. But, man, some of these Marquette fans are bad. Like, talk about pretentious and a little bit take themselves a little too seriously on Twitter.
I don't know about that. It's just that it is a nice rival, and it's especially good when both teams are good, which, like you said, doesn't frequently happen. I think both teams have some pretty good coaching going on right now, and it's great to see that. And they've gotten some good recruits in the last couple of years. Marquette's been building that program for the last 3 years, trying to get to this point where they're going to be a serious team. And they're going to be something to compete with in the Big East there. And they could make a good run come tournament time. And I like seeing the Badgers look good still. I mean, they're still undefeated in the Big Ten. They've got, obviously, the tougher games coming up. Not that Iowa wasn't tough, but more coming up. Speaking of tougher games, of course, Savannah State coming to town very soon. That's going to be a barn burner of some sort, I would anticipate.
Blue blood.
Yeah.
Where's Savannah State from? Is that next door to Adrian Bulldogs?
I was going to think it was Savannah, Georgia, but I might be wrong.
You might be.
It's not like Regina. I guess, I don't know. I can take a look at it, but I think they're from Savannah, Georgia. Learning in Savannah.
Georgia.
Boom.
There you go.
Nailed it.
There you go. It's a Georgia school.
That's right.
Well.
We've been burned on that in the past, though, with other things. So they're going to get that win. That's coming up Thursday. That was pretty much the only game they had this week because they had the three games last week, and they did very well in that. But, yeah, tough loss for the Badgers. And it really does frustrate me how much they have de-emphasized shooting their free throws compared to the teams that we watched just 5 years ago.
Right.
And they are not good at shooting free throws at this point. And they were not last year or the year before, really. They have not been particularly good at it. And Ethan Happ is not particularly good at it. But right. he makes up for it by being a monster in so many other ways. Right. Great, great player. Having him and Trice is just going to make it. When you have two good players and one of them is a three-point shooting, passing guard, That makes that whole team better. And they've got a defensive-minded guard in Davison out there. It's going to be a good team. It's going to be fun to keep watching them as they go.
I mean, that used to be the calling. Like you said, just 5 years ago, that was a calling card for Wisconsin. We talked about that on two weeks ago's podcast, like just playing pickup games of basketball on Fort McCoy. Like, I make a three-pointer and, you Wisconsin boys, three-pointers and free throws. And it's like, yeah, that was Wisconsin's calling card. It was just kill you with free throws and three-pointers at opportune moments. And that's why it made me really sad. I mean, as we'll be transitioning to the Bucks here soon, but Sam Decker's name was being thrown around for a little bit there to come to Milwaukee, and I was like, oh, come on.
Not just thrown around. I mean, he was traded to the Bucks, who then traded him immediately away.
Yeah, his wife had some teary-eye emoticons on Twitter because of that too. His wife's a sideline reporter for ESPN, and she was not happy with the last second move to Washington. But
nobody wants to head towards that Washington dumpster fire right now. But yeah, Decker, of course, from Sheboygan, also the birthplace of Jonathan Barnett.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you're from Sheboygan. That's
yeah,
right. I always think you're from like over by Platteville where your dad grew up.
No, I was born in Sheboygan, but I left there when I was four. I don't really remember anything. So,
and you haven't been back since.
Briefly, I picked up a snowblower there last winter. not a whole lot else that I had specifically into Sheboygan for a family around Plymouth, but that's about it.
The secretary on the Drew Carey show was from Sheboygan, the one with all the makeup.
Was she from Sheboygan? I thought she was from Point. Because when she got married...
I swear to God, she was like from Manitowoc or Sheboygan.
Because when she got married, there was an ad in the paper in Stevens Point, and people were making a big deal of it. She got married on the show. Not really in real life, I don't think, but yeah.
Anyhow.
Yes, of course, super important stuff to talk about, 1990s TV shows. And, yeah, but in other Bucks news, I mean, they had some games here. They played very well. They got another win just yesterday against Toronto, giving them a, you know, 2-0 lead in Toronto in the head-to-head. Doesn't catch them up to Toronto, but or Toronto, as it is apparently properly said. But, yeah, Aaron, I mean, what do you think about the team right now with the almost Decker Bucks doing out there?
Oh, you were right, man. Yeah.
And Dellavedova.
Her name was Mimi Bobek on the show. Her real name is Kathy Kenny, and she's from Stevens Point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Bucks, yeah. They won today too. They beat the Cavaliers.
They did beat the Cavaliers. They should have beat the Cavaliers. Even without Giannis was out with a neck injury, which I have a kind of a feeling that with speaking of dumpster fires, you know, the two teams that they traded with there, Cleveland. If the argument of who the best player in the NBA is right now, I think with LeBron leaving Cleveland and pretty much leaving the team intact that he took to the finals, that might seal the deal right there, because that team is horrid.
Yeah.
Horrid.
But they got Dellavedova back.
Oh, if one good thing came out of that, it got Sam Decker out of Cleveland but into another dumpster fire. So, of course, the Bucks win today 108-92 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And that, of course, like I said, without Giannis, and that, of course, rises the Bucks up. They're still in second, 2 games behind Toronto. Toronto's played about 4 more games in them, 21-7, 28, 2 more games in them. So their records are a little bit off. It's kind of like, you know, it's not – football is the only time you ever have people with exact records that you can compare, you know.
Other than bye weeks and such, but yeah.
Right, for the most part, you know, but like in baseball, like when the Milwaukee Bucks were, you know, like had 6 games in hand or something at one point.
Or the Brewers, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to get on Twitter right now, though. I was on here, and I think it was Dan Needles. Nope, Kyle Carr, at Kyle Cochet. So he had a good tweet on here. It was, Milwaukee has beaten Toronto twice, Golden State Warriors, Denver twice, Portland and Philly. They are the best team in the East, and I would have to say that. Tonight's win over the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's not what makes them the best team in the East. That's not what I'm getting at here. But like I said, it was probably a night off for Giannis, but this kind of shows that when this is a mark of a good team, your best player's down, all of your other players are ready to go. You need to take out these bad teams. You know, the Bucks had a horrible, horrible loss to the worst team in the NBA, hands down, the Phoenix Suns, a couple weeks back here, and that wasn't good. And that kind of made me stop and think about it. But when you take out your number one star, the big guy, Giannis, and you still win, and very handily, too, you know, by 16 points at home, obviously. But Eric Bledsoe led the way with 20 points, 8 of 15 for shooting. I mean, the Bucks never, unless early, they didn't trail in this game. Game stat says no, a little bit. Yeah. So,
right.
Field goal percentage, Milwaukee beat Cleveland 43-37, killed them from 3, 14-9 on the turnovers, and 58-46 on the rebounds. Milwaukee is just a better team. They're playing really well right now. Going back, though, let me pull up stuff right here.
Well, I'll say, like, they lost to the Knicks last time we were talking. When they come back, they beat the Pistons. They have a tough loss to the Warriors. We've on the road.
Yeah.
And then beat the Raptors and then beat the Cavs. But, I mean, like, the Pistons and Raptors are serious contenders in the East. Raptors are still number one in the East. And they weren't, like, blown out by the Warriors. It's a 105-95 loss there.
They lost by 10, and Clay and Steph were doing the Clay and Steph thing.
And the Raptors game, like the first Raptors game where they won, Giannis didn't play, but neither did Kawhi Leonard. This game, you know, Kawhi played. They had everybody out there. The Raptors weren't sitting this game out.
Yeah. And the Warriors hit 19 three-pointers. I mean, and it was one of those things, like I said, it was the Warriors being the Warriors, where, you know, Iguodala, Thompson, Curry, I mean, Kevin Durant only had 11 points in that game. So it was a very spreading the ball around on all sides. And you know that Golden State, you know, there's no such thing as revenge games in December, but the Bucks went out to Golden State and whomped the Golden State Warriors about a month back here. Yeah. And Day-Day wasn't playing in that game, but still, otherwise they had their other three All-Stars playing. So, Golden State probably, because they only play each other twice during the season.
Yeah.
You know, so this is the last time they'll play before they play in the NBA Finals this year, you know? So, but yeah, there's that. Otherwise, they handled business against the Detroit Pistons last week versus the Raptors, a very fun game to watch. I caught some of it. Of course, it was on, you know, with everything else going on too. But like you said, he played up against Kawhi Leonard, and they proved it, you know? And the Bucks are a legitimate team. I wanted to pull up the let me get this trade up here. Of course, we were talking about that earlier. So the Bucks, it's, you know how they give draft grade or trade grades. This is the first time I've ever seen all three teams get an A for the trade. So the Bucks got George Hill, veteran point guard. Not a lot of razzle dazzle, not a lot of spit shine, or a lot of spit shine, but not a lot of razzle dazzle on this guy. He's 32 years old. So is Jason Smith, power forward too. But what George Hill gives the Bucks is someone, a very good backup point guard, and because otherwise they've got DiVincenzo, Connington, and Brown, who have, especially Connington, in my opinion, has played very well this year. This is a veteran presence, and this is a team that plans on going past the first round of the playoffs this year, and should. And that's why you need these veteran players. And also, too, it clears up a lot of cap space. What did I see here? Dellavedova and Henson, who has the longest arms I've ever seen on a basketball player. But $19 million owed to them next year. Hill only has $1 million left of his $18 million contract next year, so that works out really well. And so the Bucks are going to have to, Middleton, Bledsoe, and Brogdon are all up for contracts after this year. Plus, if the Bucks want to go after some free agents, you know, they're going to need that too if they need that one more piece. But it kind of worked out well. You got a little bit of some veteran backups, you know, for the postseason. Cleared some cap space. Didn't get Sam Decker, but you know what? Sam Decker is also injured right now too. So we got some serviceable players that'll help out in the long run. This isn't a deal breaker. This isn't going to, this isn't the big splash, but this will win us 3, 4, 5 games down the road, I'm sure. And it'll probably win us 2, 3 playoff games down the road. So Bucks trending very well. They're again on NBA.com, the number one team in the league again. It's a good time to be a Bucks fan, man. Fear the deer. Hashtag fear the deer.
And I'd like to point out that the Bucks had the chance to draft Sam Decker, but instead drafted a guy they immediately sent to the G League, and he never played in the NBA, basically.
Right.
But he was really young, which annoys me the most about the NBA, is that you would rather draft youth over them actually being good. And it makes it unwatchable for me. It's so hard at times to do that. I love watching Giannis and the team, but it's the NBA just drives me crazy sometimes with some of that kind of weird nonsense where they just I don't understand how they look at players sometimes. So just
I don't understand why I like the NBA for all the reasons you just said, but I do.
Right. It's interesting if you don't think about it as real basketball. It's
right.
It's an exciting collection of athletes doing greatly athletic things.
But you know what else, John? I grew up a big fan of the WWF, WWE,
yeah.
You know, which everyone knows is fake, but what they're doing is not fake. They
that's right.
They are awesome athletes. They are amazing athletes.
Now, is the WWF, you're talking about pandas and stuff.
Oh, like sorry, that. WWE, that's right. They got sued and had to change their name. Yes, so, yeah.
I was hoping we were talking about World Wildlife Federation, and that was the key part, but Yeah, no, that makes sense too, I guess. That's
I
very
mean,
true.
it's entertaining. It really is. I mean, they're super athletes. They really are. But speaking of WWF, I saw this one today. There was a poll out there, who's the best two sport athlete of all time? And there's only one right answer, John. Who's the best two sport athlete of all team?
Bo Jackson.
Right, Bo Jackson. It's not even close, right? Dion.
Dion was nice, but he's not Bo Jackson in
He
baseball.
wasn't Bo Jackson. Dion actually had a longer career, probably. Definitely in football, he did, but he
Yeah.
probably had a longer baseball career too because of Bo's hip problems. But I mean, Bo was unbelievable.
Yeah,
Like,
it's
career
crazy.
cut too short. But and then the other ones they offered up were Kyler Murray, who hasn't even played a professional game in either sport yet, and then Tim Tebow. And it's like, wait, Tim Tebow was a horrible NFL quarterback, and he's a single A baseball player. So like that's it. But somebody did bring up best two sport athlete of all time. One, Randy Poffo. Do you know who that is?
No.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he I don't know if he made it to the don't know if he made it to the majors, but he was in the Reds farm system.
Well, couldn't you just say things like The Rock for being in the WWE and in college football, or Goldberg? Goldberg played for Georgia, and
Goldberg played in the pros.
oh, did he? I guess I didn't know he
Yeah,
played in the pros.
Goldberg played in the pros, and Randy McMichael actually had a run in the WWE too.
It's Steve
Anyways,
McMichael, Steve
baseball
Mongo
player.
McMichael too. But now we'll move into what we're all here for, and what everybody specifically wanted to talk about is the Packers. And here's what I'm going to say off to the front is, if you watch that game and you're telling me that the Packers, now they get it, everything's gonna be great. Clearly they're on track, and now they're gonna be great again. And this clearly proves that Mike McCarthy was the problem all along. Then I don't know how to talk to you, person to person, because I just don't know what to say about that. They beat a terrible team at home. The Falcons aren't good.
This was John. This was the NFC Championship game 2 seasons ago, by the way.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Atlanta should be so much better on paper. They have Calvin Ridley as their number two and Julio Jones. I mean, they did lose their best running back, but they still have Tevin Coleman as the next guy up.
Kevin Coleman could be a starter on 30 other teams.
Yeah, and it just goes into that I have a dynasty league that everybody super cares about my fantasy team, but I have one where my two quarterbacks on this dynasty league where it's hard to pick up anybody, and it's an 18-team league, were Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, and I was in the playoff run towards until the very end, and then I had to go out and pick up somebody, and of course I picked up Colt McCoy, and that didn't go
This
well
is
either.
costing you cap money too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's cap money, and it's hard because there's so many players, and you have to bid on everybody. And then
No, I played in that league
I
for one
had,
year, I remember, and that's the reason why I don't play in that league anymore, because it's massively
yeah.
frustrating.
Will Fuller, also IR. Also, I have Devontae Freeman, also IR. My team is just built full of people who are injured. Geronimo Allison is on that, and I was just about willing to start putting up the bidding of like, who needs me to pick up somebody to help their real life team by injuring somebody else? Like, who do you want to just out of the league? Because you put them on my roster, they're going down. I can't believe that losing Devontae Freeman is the big reason why Atlanta is no good anymore.
Right.
I don't really know what it is. They just couldn't do much of anything. Atlanta scored on the first drive, and then the Packers defense did what it has been doing most of this year, which is adjust quickly on the fly and slow everything down after that.
Right.
Atlanta didn't score another touchdown until the fourth quarter when the game was over. It was 7-0, but then it became Packers 34-7 before the end of the third quarter. That game was over. Atlanta gets two late touchdowns to make it look like they were in this game,
Right.
but the Packers were in control. They used some more of the short passing. Rodgers, I mean, this is one of his best games in terms of completion percentage. 21 of 32, only 196 yards, but two touchdowns, no picks, and the most worthless NFL record I can think of, other than the fact that Sam Bradford was the most accurate passer in the NFL for an entire season at one point.
For 1 year, and then it got broken the next year, but thank God.
The yes. fact that he has, like, the longest streak without throwing a pick, but I also saw the picture popped up. He has, like, 53 throwaways in that span. It's that he will hold – he got sacked 4 times in this game as well. He would rather take a sack or throw the ball away. He would rather kill a drive than risk throwing a pick.
John, come on, man.
You've
become jaded in your old age.
He would,
there was a time. There was a time when there was another quarterback in this town that we were praying that he would throw it away or take a sack rather than huck it 40 yards down the middle of the field off his back.
And all I'm saying is there's a spot in between those two things that would be great.
Oh, I was trying to tell you the pregame about the Monday Night Football game going on tonight. Just before the half, Russ Wilson had a horrible pick, and all I could think was, that's something Brett Favre would do.
Yeah, he's playing to win. But yeah, it's just the one thing is just that, yeah, it's nice. It's a fun record and all that stuff like that. And he definitely just does not throw interceptions, but it is the primary thing he does in his game is try to avoid the interceptions. And I get that that's a huge part of what makes him great is that he does that. But he used to take more risks because he had the window throws that he could make. And I'll say this, that throw to Cobb, you look at, he's getting out over his front leg. He was striding into that throw. He didn't throw off his back leg as much. He didn't fully stride into it, but he was moving forward on the throw. And Cobb has a guy on him. He just threw the ball very well, and he put it in there where it needed to be. And it's like, he looked a little different. He looked a little more confident. Maybe it was just getting him into rhythm with the short stuff early, got him feeling that ball on the way out and the later plays in the third quarter, I guess. But yeah, I just that and having the run game actually get 17 carries for 78 yards from Aaron Jones. He also had 3 catches on 3 targets, 20 touches for Aaron Jones. Now that's a big success there. Having Cobb back, of course, is a huge thing. And having Devontae there is just he's been great. He's been great all year. Devontae's been amazingly great.
Right. I was just going to say that, too. Two things. First of all, there was another great window throw. It wasn't much. I think it was like a maybe 15-yard gain that Devontae had. It was just a quick little stop-and-go route, quick shuffle and then go. And Rodgers just, like you said, right off that front foot, just one of those little boop right over the top, you know, it's that old old adage that Aaron Rodgers was coined. I think Aaron Rodgers was the one that coined it. But if I see the back of a receiver's helmet or back of a D-back's helmet, I see an open receiver. And it was just one of those plays, like he just threw it right over top of the D-back's head, right into a small window. And then, I sent you some aggressive text messages last night, right after the Packers decided to use Aaron Jones, like how they should have been using him all year long. There was one dump-off that he did to Aaron Jones right in front. Like he had that in every single game the last 5 weeks, especially against Seattle, where Aaron Jones was just sitting wide open, and he hit him 2 yards downfield, and he turned it into a 15-yard gain. And then, lo and behold, you get Aaron Jones going, and he rips off a 20-some-odd-yard touchdown that looked like nothing. I mean,
yeah.
It seems like a really lost season. Like, it's like, here's all the things. Atlanta's devolved into a bad team. But it's like, come on, man. Like, this is all the stuff. Like, if you would have just made a couple of these small adjustments over the against all the Patriots, the Rams, the Seahawks, and stole one of those games, we'd still be legitimately in the playoff run, especially with Minnesota, Carolina, and everybody else deciding they don't want to win anymore too. But one more win right now would be huge because 9-6-1 is going to get into the playoffs in the NFC this year.
Well, and the other thing too is we're like, we beat a bad team here, but several teams that beat us this year are not good teams. We should have beaten Minnesota. We were ahead of Seattle and should have just closed that game out. We should have beaten the Rams. There's a number of games here that even against good teams, the Packers should have won. They just did not do it. And there's no way of sugarcoating it of like we got things stolen from us. We didn't. The Packers got beaten in those games. They did. They definitely
lost. The only game they legitimately got beat was the Patriots, but they still led in that game.
Should have beaten the Lions for crying out loud. They're not a good team. And that's the thing. It's just like, it was just to the point where they just haven't beaten the teams they should beat, which is the first step towards being a very good team is You have to beat the teams that you should beat. You have to win your home games, win the games you should win, and then pick off one or two down the road and see what else you've got. We also got some big plays from Brashad Breeland, who you were besmirching his good name last week. Mm-hmm. I was also looking, and I'm trying to remember who put this up. Peter Bukowski, who does write for Acme Packing and some other places, he put up the list of the Packers' 2019 free agents. And he's of the opinion that Brashad Breeland's the only one we're really going to spend any time or money on. Here's the other ones I'm seeing here. Jake from State Farm, mm-hmm. Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Muhammad Wilkerson, Mercedes Lewis, Lance Kendricks, Byron Bell, Devon House, Eddie Pleasant, Ibrahim Campbell. He's 27. That might be the thing that hurts him the most. He's getting $705,000 this year, so this isn't going to matter. Clay Matthews is making $13.2 million. Cobb is making $10 million. Muhammad Wilkerson made $5 million. 2.1 for Mercedes Lewis. He's 35. Lance Kendricks is 31. Byron Bell is a swinging door.
Right.
He needs to go. They need to find somebody else to play that left guard or no the right guard spot there. But Brashad Breeland looked good and he got the pick six in this game. Jake Ryan's just kind of a guy. He can pack up his khakis. Muhammad Wilkerson, I mean, depending what they're going to pay him, they paid him $5
million. That's the one I was
going
to bring up, too. It's like, it depends upon how bad the injury was. I mean, because he's a defensive lineman. Leg injuries are never good with defensive linemen because, you know, they're carrying so much weight on it. But that was one of the biggest disappointments this year was losing Big Mo because, you know, you always talk about the star power. That's become the big talking point for the Packers this year. And Big Mo he's borderline a star. Like, he's good.
Yeah, when he wants to play.
You have a lot of D tackles that are stars. I mean, you got Aaron Donald, Danielle Hunter, and a couple others, but I put especially, him up with anybody else. He's a big presence on the inside of the line, especially in a 3-4 defense.
Yeah, and especially hard to find stars who went to Temple for football.
Well, yeah, there's that. The Owls, yes.
Yeah, never trust a team named the Owls.
Yes.
Don't trust an Owl. Cobb will only...
If birds were bigger, we'd all be dead.
They'd be dinosaurs.
But yes, that's exactly it.
Randall Cobb is only 29, though. I don't know. It just depends on what number they're talking about there, I think. They'd like to have him back. I mean, he's been hurt a lot the last couple of years.
He's another one, too. He's not going to work outside of Green Bay. I mean...
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's just how healthy is he?
Right. You
know, that's the thing is how many games does he get to be out there? He's had some injuries, and that hurts him, obviously. But, yeah. Clay Matthews
he's
cannot
he's
make
good
13.
People, and everyone says he's going to be a head coach in the NFL someday.
Good.
It's been mentioned a number of times that he's literally, you know, and that was kind of one of the things that one of the big complaints coming into this year was there was not enough people like him around anymore, which I will agree with that. There's not a lot of strong, it seemed like a lot of strong personalities, but no, I mean, if he comes back, I hope he comes back for the right price.
Yeah. And he might. I mean, I think they'll offer more because he's younger than what Jordy was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I think he's got a good chance. Mo would be good.
And he's also the fourth string quarterback. So yeah. there is that.
Devon House is done. Byron Bell is done.
Bye.
Mercedes Lewis has been great and he's done. Lance Kendricks, he hasn't done much. I don't know why you re-signed him.
He dropped a big pass against the Seahawks. Remember that? Oh, yeah. I do.
Clay Matthews, $13.2 million for whatever it is that he does, which is mostly try to avoid being blocked, never take on a block, and kind of just stay out of trouble, I guess. I don't know. That's got to go. They got to get some pass rush on this. Which mindset are you of at this point, Aaron? Would you rather see the Packers lose and just, you know, move up in those draft stocks, or do you want to see them try to win some games here?
Well, there's two takes on that. You know, obviously,
I gave you two options. So yes, there are two takes.
No, I mean, the two takes on it are this, and I mean, yeah, the Packers could lose up, but they've already got 5 wins. So I mean, what's the best they're going to get? 10? Number 10?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, which I mean, sure. I mean, but nobody's going to outdo the Raiders, even though they won. But they just fired Reggie McKenzie.
That was dumb.
You know, I'm more of I want to see the Packers do because they've done this before. Packers started playing really well early on, late in seasons when Rodgers was a rookie, 6-10 year, and then snuck into the playoffs and then lost on the face mask in Arizona. when that the most ridiculous quarterbacking game I've ever seen in my life, Rodgers versus Warner, which propelled them to a Super Bowl the next year. You know, Cleveland's doing that right now. Cleveland should not be winning. They shouldn't be. They could have got another high draft pick. They've got a good-looking future on them, too. But they're not. They're playing well to prove to themselves that they can play well, and they are playing great. And, you know, as far as, like, building the team, I want to see the Packers play well because EQ, MVS, some of these younger receivers have a lot of talent, but they still make some dumb mistakes. And they're rookies, you know, so that's to be expected. And they weren't highly touted rookies, you know, like field ready, you know. So getting some time underneath them belt. The Packers have a winning culture, not beyond week two of the playoffs, but they have a winning culture. You want to keep that winning culture. You don't want to tank it. I mean, tanking is for loser teams. Like, that's right. What Jacksonville does. That's what Cleveland does. That's what Cincinnati does. That's what the Jets do. That's what Buffalo says they're doing, but they're just really that bad. That's what Oakland does. That's what, you know. Yeah.
Well, just I mean, like, here's the thing, too, is I want to see the Packers have some momentum as they get out of the season. Say, like, look, some things went wrong. We had some bad times in there. We're going to get a new head coach, and the team's already on some kind of tear at this point. And, I mean, we have two first-round picks. Seriously, if they really want to, if they've got one guy in mind, you could trade two first-round picks and move pretty high for a team that knows that they're not good and they've got they've got a lot of holes to fill. They might take a, you know, 15th pick and a, you know, the 32nd pick that they'll get from the Saints at this point and trade that for, you know, top 5, top 10. There's no reason not to. So they got some options there, I think, that they wouldn't normally have because they were able to get Jaire Alexander and a first round pick in this draft. So
Speaking of Jaire, I love the kid. He's got a bright future. He's good. Oh man, he got taken to town. He got taken to school by Julio Jones a couple times this weekend, which is good.
Yeah, you know, 10
tackles. It's a learning process, but
yeah, 10 tackles on the game for him, and yeah, they've got a lot of things to build around on the team, and I think so. I would like to see them win some to get out of here. More than anything, I want to see them beat the Bears next week because that would be amazing.
I would love it.
Because the number of Bears fans over at ESPN is just embarrassingly annoying.
Oh, yeah.
The number of, you know, it's the fact that they have so many people who went to Northwestern and are like, I've adopted the Bears. And you're like, I don't like you. Or every time that they start winning anything in Chicago, every Northwestern reporter comes out and tells you everything about Chicago and is like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it would be great to see that.
And I wanted to get back to the first round draft pick thing, too. Yes. No bueno Bears. So the other thing is, too, to finish answering your question, so Jaire Alexander is the highest draft pick the Packers have had in the first round since 2009. Jaire was 18. The last time we had a top 10 pick, it was B.J. Raji.
That was a good
and one. He had a nice cup of coffee. He helped us out. He scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game to get us to the Super Bowl. Very nice. But yeah. And that was short-lived. The next highest draft pick we had before that was A.J. Hawk 2 years before at number five in 2006. And A.J., and he is what he was. I mean, but besides that, then before 2005, the only other top 10 pick was number 10, Jamal Reynolds. That didn't
end
well.
No.
And then you have to go back to 1992 to get Terrell Buckley. And of course, 1989, Tony Mandridge, and the last person that was worth a duty in the first round was Sterling Sharp, the number 7 pick overall in 1988. I mean, so there you go. Yeah. I mean, Ken Rutgers and Brent Fullwood before that too, and Tim Lewis. But I mean,
love
still,
Kenny
it's I you know the Packers, the Steelers, and the Patriots have all proven that you don't need high draft picks.
Yeah, you just need to be good at it, and it seems like Gutekunst has a good idea, but we've only seen it, you know, one draft in a row now. But with that, we're going to end up this week. We're going to, you know, get out of here, and hopefully we'll see some good news next week. We got Savannah State, of course, to help out the Badgers. Badger hockey, women's hockey, men's hockey, everybody's going to keep going on. Bucks will keep rolling, hopefully, and hopefully we can get a Packers-Bears win. which would be amazing. If we can beat the Bears, we're going to sweep the rest of these games because that would be amazing. But I'm not particularly hopeful on that one, but maybe they're looking past us after their giant win over the Rams, which killed my fantasy team.
Big time letdown. And two other positive points on the Packers as we leave here. Devontae Adams did post on his Twitter that, in fact, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 17th Street intersects with Adams Avenue.
Yep, I saw that. That's perfect.
And then after Rodgers got hit on the slide yesterday and there was a big fight that ensued, some player came up and got in Randall Cobb's face, and he just slammed him to the ground.
I love the guy who tried jumping on top of the lineman there. Like, he tried to jump on his shoulders. It was amazing.
Right, but, and so so that was a good reason to re-sign Randall Cobb, by the way.
Right. But on top of that, though, make sure you guys go check us out. iTunes, we are on Spotify, we are on Stitcher, we are on Google Play. Give us a 5-star rating. Please help everyone else to find the show. Please recommend us to your friends and family. We try to put this out on Twitter and everything so that everybody can share that and get out this word to anyone else as much as we can. If you want to find it, I will share it on my Twitter, which is jbarn54. You'll also be on the show Twitter page, which is ScannyJohnny1. And Aaron's, of course, will have it, I'm sure. And that's Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk, everybody. Cheddar Talk. It's Cheddar Talk. And, of course, if you have any questions, concerns, or complaints, anything you want to send to us, you can reach us at ScannyJohnny@gmail.com. And remember, as you live here, cars and trucks leading us out of here, whether you're on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
Bye.